Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this Sunday evening, September 15th, 2024. And you can find us here every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on New Visions Radio. And we just, it's hard to believe that we're upon the season where we do our Bible series.
Yes.
Already. We start tomorrow night on the 16th at 7 p.m. We will be live streaming that. And we're just glad to have this platform here of being able to be on the air each and every week.
Yes.
Thanks to Ray Powers.
Yes. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, for all that he does for us. And, you know, just a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, Ed. Can you give us a little information?
Sure. We're this little ministry in Stanton, Virginia. It's been around since 2012, but our current facilities we moved into in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Throughout the world. The Bible says, when the gospel is preached throughout the world, then Christ will come.
Mm.
And so that's our goal. And we have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is available via Zoom if you're interested in joining us. And we have our worship service on Saturday, or the Sabbath, which we have a Bible study at 9:30, and then our worship hour at 11.
Yes. And so we want to invite you to visit our website, which is prophecyhope.com. And Ed, if somebody wants to send you a Bible question or just contact you, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. Now, I would like to, you know, we're airing this on September the 15th. So if you're listening this evening and you would like to tune in to the Bible series, please tell people about it. Send the link. Go to the website. You can copy and paste the link, email it to people. And we want as many as possible to hear this series.
Right.
It's actually entitled, What Did Jesus Say About?
And then you have multiple topics.
Yeah.
What are some of the topics?
Well, let's see. Monday night will be, What Did Jesus Say About the Trinity?
Okay.
Tuesday night, What Did Jesus Say About the Holy Spirit? Wednesday night will be, What Did Jesus Say About Death and Hell? And I'm doing this from memory. I don't have a handbill in front of me. And then Thursday night will be, What Did Jesus Say About the Ten Commandments? Friday night will be, What Did Jesus Say About the Sabbath? And then on Sabbath morning, we're going to, at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we're going to broadcast, What Did Jesus Say About Diet and Health?
Yeah.
And these are really important things.
Yes.
These are things that Jesus spoke about these things. He was very clear as to what the Bible teaches about it and has always taught about
right.
these things.
These aren't new things that we're teaching.
They're not.
No.
But they might be new to a lot of Christians, believe
right.
it or not, because many times as Christians, we have Bibles sitting in our homes, we go to our churches, we sit there, we listen to the pastor, or the minister, or the priest, whoever it is that's speaking, and we don't open the Bible to make sure that what they're saying is true.
Right.
And that's what we're told to do in the Bible. The Bible says that when Paul was speaking, when he was preaching to people, what were they doing, Ed?
They were opening the Scriptures daily to see if what he was saying was so.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we encourage you to do that with this ministry.
Yes.
If you hear us say something on the radio, you open God's Word and you look and see and make sure that what we're saying is either right or wrong.
Right.
You have to check it. And speaking of that, you know, if you need a Bible, if you don't have a copy of the Bible, we would invite you to contact us, and by any means that we have, we will try to make sure that you have a copy of God's Word, the Bible,
right.
in your hand. And so this is something that we want to encourage everyone to do. And as we study, as we go through these studies each week, open your Bible. Don't just listen to us.
Yeah.
Don't just hear the words. Read the words. See what they say. Because, Ed, you're a testament to that can make a difference in your life.
Oh, yes. There's power in the Word of God.
Amen. So I think that's all the business that we have today. So we're going to pick up after we open with prayer in Matthew chapter 7. So if you have a Bible, get your Bible ready, and we'll start a study together. But before we do that, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to come together and to open your word, the Bible, to give us information about how to live our lives. And this is, today we're reading about Matthew 7, Jesus speaking, giving us instruction. Father, may we comprehend these things. May you give us the wisdom and knowledge to apply them to our lives. Mm-hmm. And Father, please guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, the last several weeks, we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount. We've been looking at it rather closely, not a comprehensive study, but a pretty good study on this. So where would you like to start? I know we're starting in Matthew chapter 7, but what do you think we should read here? Or do you have any comments?
Probably
before?
Verse 1.
You're so funny.
Let's read verses 1 through 6.
You want me to read that?
Yes, please.
Ed's a character, I tell you. All right, so I'm going to begin in Matthew 7, verse 1. We'll read through verse 6. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. He says, this is Jesus' words. He says, judge not that you not be judged. I'm sorry, I got that backwards because I'm used to another translation. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces.
Okay, this is a message from Christ, mm-hmm, about judging. Now, we all, every day, make choices and decisions in our life.
Absolutely.
Determine what's right and what's wrong for ourselves. You know, here Jesus is saying, you know, before you try to help out your brother, and I don't know if this is necessarily helping out your brother by condemning him, mm-hmm, but make sure your own life is in order. And because God will judge you according to how you judge others.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend one time point this out to me, and we were having a Bible study. And he says, you know, it doesn't say don't judge.
Right.
But it says the judgment that you give, you better be willing,
right,
to receive.
Excellent.
So as critical as we might be of someone else, are we ready for others to be that critical of us?
Right.
That's the point.
You know, it's sometimes it's hard to get over this idea of judging people. The only thing I can in my own life is, how do you see that person? Do you see them as someone who needs Jesus, or do you picture them as an enemy?
Yeah. Oh, that's very important.
You know, how do you picture that person that you see, and they may be doing something that's very wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So, is your motivation to condemn them, or is your motivation to save them?
You know, it's a great point because there's a phrase that our brother Rick, I heard him, I don't know if he coined it, but I heard him say it. We need to look at others, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. We need to look at people as candidates for the kingdom. And that's hard to do sometimes.
Yes.
That's hard. But, you know, Jesus came and died for every human being, whether we think they're worthy or not.
Right.
He died for them. And then it's up to the Father and His Son as to whether that person is worthy.
Now, in saying that, Jesus wasn't afraid to call sin by its rightful name.
Very true.
To say, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this, to people in particular, personally.
Right.
But He did it out of hopes of saving those people versus just to condemn them.
Right. And you know, that's one of the things. Jesus was not easy on the religious leaders.
No.
And the reason for that is because of all people, they should know better. And in fact, I'm looking for a text where he actually called them the offspring of serpents or vipers.
It's in John 8 or 10. I don't remember which one.
When I type this is, this shows Matthew 23.
Okay.
I was just using my phone, which I should know some of these verses. Matthew 23, and he's actually speaking to the scribes and Pharisees in this whole chapter. And really, he makes it clear that they sort of condemn themselves in this chapter. How much of this do you think we should read, Ed? It's in verse 33 is where he says that.
Just go ahead and start reading. We'll see.
You want me just to read in, you want me to start in verse 1?
Sure.
Okay. So this is Matthew 23, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." So let's explain that a little bit, Ed.
Okay.
The priests would wear these garments with the blue tassels on them, and the blue tassels represented God's law.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they would do is they would make theirs look extremely important. They would try to make it look like, well, look at me. You know, we just read earlier last week, we read about those who stand in public places and who fast publicly and do these things publicly.
To draw attention to themselves.
That's what's happening here with the religious leaders of the day.
Yeah, you know, we all should not draw attention to ourselves, but point people to Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, Jesus always pointed people to his Father. And the Father always wants us to be drawn to Jesus because that's how we get to the Father. So I'm going to continue here. If you feel like we need to skip to somewhere, just let me know. But this is a great account. Verse 6, "They love the best places at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ. And you are all brethren or brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Any thoughts, Ed?
Well, you know, this is Jesus saying it as it is. You know, his motivation, again, is to warn people about these men who are not really preaching the gospel. But he's also talking to those very people in hopes that they'll hear him and have a change of heart. You know, judging others, look at your motivation. Mm-hmm. What is your motivation? Is it to help that person, or is it to just simply talk bad about that person?
That's right. And, you know, this week, we just read here in Matthew 7, he uses the word in verse 5, hypocrite. You remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly how to get the speck out of your brother's eye, right? So really, Jesus is preaching the same message here and in Matthew 23. It continues, though. In verse 14, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Well, he says it over and over, doesn't he? "For you travel land and sea to win the proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much as a son of hell as yourselves. "Woe to you, blind guides, you who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sacrifices the gift, that sanctifies the gift?" The word is sanctifies, not sacrifices. "Or the altar that sanctifies the gift. Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." Any thoughts, Ed?
Well, going back earlier, talking about calling no one your father on this earth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Jesus isn't talking about your parents.
Right.
He's talking about a religious leader,
correct,
someone who's taking the place of God, the Father.
Yeah.
And so he says, call no man a father. You know, it's interesting that different churches, different denominations have different names for their ministers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says God is reverend. Mm. You know, why do we call men reverend?
Right.
Why do we call men father? You know, when we have one father, and that's our Father in heaven.
Yes.
You know, so I know it's probably people do these things without thinking. Maybe the people with that title don't even think about the significance of their title.
Right.
But this is what God's Word says.
I know many of my relatives, my mom's heritage is Italian, and they go into a booth and they say, Father. They uh-huh. call the man Father. And they ask for forgiveness. And then he grants them this forgiveness based on things that he may tell them or ask them to do. But there's one we should call Father, as Jesus said here, and as you just mentioned that he said, and that's our Father in heaven. Our priest is Christ Jesus. It's not an earthly man.
Yeah, no man can forgive sins.
That's right. And this authority was given to Christ by his Father.
Right.
And Christ is our high priest. And he's not an earthly priest today. He is our heavenly high priest. Big difference.
Yes.
And this sanctuary that we're talking about here, you know, a lot of people they put a lot of value on the sanctuaries here on the earth, but there's a heavenly sanctuary where our heavenly Father dwells. And the one that was built on earth was a replica of that. And that's what Jesus is referring to here,
mm-hmm.
that earthly sanctuary in the temple. So any other thoughts, Ed, before we're almost to that verse?
No.
I think we'll just read through this chapter, okay, if that's okay. Where did I stop? I think it was I'll just pick up in verse 23. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving others undone. Blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." These illustrations are great,
yeah,
the things that he's saying.
You know, he was talking about tithe.
Hmm.
Tithe is something that God desires from each of us.
Yes, he does.
And he promises in the book of Malachi,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you give what God asks from us, which is basically 10%,
right,
that he'll open the windows of heaven in terms of blessings.
Right.
And and these priests and rulers, religious rulers, were paying tithe on the little things, and there was nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
But in concentrating on these little details, they were missing the big details of keeping God's law.
Isn't that something? And I think in some way or another, these are great reminders for every one of us.
Yeah.
Because I think we all kind of, you know, there are things that we overlook in our life. And we read these accounts to bring us back.
Right.
To bring us back to the way we're supposed to be living. So any thoughts? Did you want to continue reading, Ed?
I'm not there.
You're not there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're in another text.
Yeah.
So you stop me at any point if there's something that you want to talk about. So let's see. And you notice he's using the word hypocrites over and over and over again. So let's see. I just finished in verse 26.
Okay. What is a hypocrite?
It's someone that they say what to do, but they don't do what they say
right.
to do.
Right. Right. They don't walk the walk. They yeah. talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk.
Right.
Right.
And so we're seeing that word thrown around a lot here.
Right.
And Jesus, keep in mind, folks, that, you know, we read in Matthew 7:1 to be ready to be judged by the judgment that you give.
Right.
Well, Jesus is ready to be judged. He's ready for anybody to say, okay, well, have you done this? Because he's done everything that he's telling them.
You know,
he's lived up to it.
The religious leaders, pastors, ministers, whatever term you want to use, many of them preach about the gospel, but do they think about living the gospel?
Mm.
I mean, that's why we preach it. We need to live it as
Amen.
Well.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a change. It's a complete change. It's a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you live. And one of our brothers, Brother Roy, what's he say? I'm trying to think.
At all times, preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words.
That's such a great saying because
yeah.
he's saying, live it.
Yes.
You have to live it. And it's really, it's so important, friends. It really is. There, and I've, just a personal testimony, there are times that I've been in a situation, I'll just use one of the most recent ones, in a grocery store, and I'm standing in the express line, and it says 12 items or less, and a lady walks up that's got a basket full of groceries, and she stops at the express lane. Well, they're not going to turn her away.
Right.
The place was busy. I wanted so bad to say something, and I thought, you know, if I were in a hurry or I had to get through, I might do the same thing. So I prayed about it, mm-hmm. and I bit my tongue, and after I didn't say anything, I felt so much better because suppose I had said something and then later on that lady sees me or hears me
mm-hmm.
doing this program, says, well, you know, that's that same voice that I remember.
Right, yeah. It's like wearing a T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I'm wearing it, I thought, you know, am I living it?
Yeah.
People see this and that, are they watching me? Am I living what my T-shirt says?
Right. Yeah. It's just like that song that you've talked about a number of times, The Change. They see the thing written there, what would Jesus, or, you know.
You may have a gold cross necklace. You
right.
may have a bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? You may have a fish on your car. You may have a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus.
Right.
But what about the change? What about the difference he makes in your life? Not about the outside, but the inside.
And that's the illustration Jesus used.
Yeah.
You've got the cup clean on the outside,
right?
But on the inside, it's filthy.
And folks, it's something we all, Mark and myself
Absolutely.
Especially, need to continually look at daily in our lives.
It's hard in this world.
Yes,
it's really difficult because I'm just gonna confess right here on this program. Things push my buttons sometimes that really anger me. And
mm-hmm.
I've told you that.
Right.
You and I have been together and something will come out and I say, that just makes me so mad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's okay. It's okay if you get it. There are things that should upset us. Jesus was upset. It's called righteous indignation.
Right.
But how do you deal with it?
Right.
How do you deal with it? And what kind of witness is it going to be for Christ if I come unglued and just,
right.
if I would have said something to that little lady? You know, it was probably best just to be patient
right.
and wait. And, you know, let's take it a step further because I don't know that maybe God put her in my way.
Mm.
Not only to teach me a lesson.
But to purify us.
To purify me.
Yeah.
But that delay might have kept me from having an accident that I could have been in and I might have avoided that because
right.
of that. I might have avoided being hit by a car. right? Walking across the parking lot. We don't know.
Right.
So doing the will of God is always best. It's always best. Any other thoughts before we continue?
No.
Okay. So let me see here. In verse 20, yeah, let me start in verse 27. I'm not sure if I read this or not. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.' Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation."
You know, right now in our Bible study on Sabbath morning, Saturday morning, we've been reading or studying the book of Acts.
Yes, it's been very good.
These very things that Jesus just said are happening. They're persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ,
yes,
those that are preaching the gospel, including Stephen, who was stoned to death.
Right.
Who the Apostle Paul, when he was known as Saul, was part of that.
Yes, he was.
And once Paul became a follower of Jesus, they persecuted him and put him to death, as well as the rest of the apostles.
Yeah. And this is, the thing is, these things aren't new to those who follow Christ. This has been happening for many, many years, and it will continue to happen until Christ comes.
Right.
And the thing is, how do we deal with it? And this is the point about judgment. Jesus had a right to judge every one of them. He is going to judge each one of us according to his Father's will.
Right.
So the other thing we have to remember is Jesus knows the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read this account and you say, wow, look at how he called them out. He knew the heart. I don't know what's in your heart, Ed, and you don't know what's in my heart. So we have to give one another the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times by our actions, you can see what's in the heart.
Right.
And so this is just be cautious, and that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7.
Let's go to the book of Romans. And if you're familiar with the book of Romans, chapter 1, talks about there's no excuse for not knowing God. And it talks about those that disregard God and his law and what they do on this earth. And maybe you can read the last little bit of Romans chapter 1. If we can read 18, can you read 18 through 32 for
us? Sure. And again, I'm reading from the New King James, Romans 1, beginning in verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the corruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
So this is a pretty strong judgment here
Very
by
strong.
Paul. But let's not stop here. You know, all these things that you read are against the law of God.
Yes.
And it says people do these things because they refuse to acknowledge God.
Yes,
and
it does.
Who he is. And it says God, they have no excuse because God has revealed himself to them. But let's continue on in Romans 2, verse 1. This is the Modern King James. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, everyone who judges. For in that in which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge do the same things. Mm. But know that the judgment of God is according to truth on those who practice such things. And, O man, the one judging those who do such things and practice them, do you think this, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and the forbearance and long-suffering, and do not know that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?
Mm-hmm.
But according to your hardness and your impenitent heart, do you treasure up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each according to his works? So it talks about, okay, all these things are wrong, but you who judge these other people, do you do the same thing yourself?
Right. You know.
And do you expect to escape God's wrath?
Well, that's what a hypocrite is.
Yeah.
A hypocrite is one who condemns others for the things that he himself is doing. And so, you know, look, we recognize that in today's world, saying the things that we're saying is not popular.
It would probably be considered, in some countries, is hate speech.
Yeah, and it's becoming that way in the United
Just
States.
Just simply reading the Word of God.
Yeah, and you know, this isn't Ed and Mark telling you this.
No.
We're reading from the words of the Most High God.
Right.
And these words were inspired. When Paul wrote this, I don't know that he had any idea of what things would be like 1900 and some years later.
Right.
You know, think about that. You know, it must have been bad in his day because he's saying, hey, look. And later on in 1 Corinthians, he even talks about how some of these people were some of the. I think we should look at that.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Yeah. And we can go there, but
right.
I wanted to talk about this for just a moment because look at this list. Friends, if you have a Bible, open it and read these words that we just read from Romans 1, 28 through the end of the chapter.
This isn't Mark and Ed's judgment.
No.
This is the Word of God. The purpose in talking about these things is people need to be aware of what God expects.
Yeah.
And that there is a way to change, experience change in your life through the power of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is part of the gospel. It's not only forgiveness of sins, but to experience change in your life Amen. Through the power of a living Christ that wants to have his Spirit in you to empower you to overcome sin in your life.
Amen. That's the key. That's what the gospel truly is.
Right.
It's not living in sin, but it's being able to overcome by Christ in you.
Right.
So when I look at these things, you know, when I look at this list, I'm just gonna bear it right here. There are times that I have, when I look at this, I'm just going through this. I've been proud. I've boasted about myself and things like that. I look here. There have been many times that I've been unforgiving in mm-hmm. my life, unmerciful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things that happen in your life can change those things.
Right. You yeah. notice in the scripture that you read there, it doesn't say one is worse than the other.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, this isn't a list in order of offenses
right.
or offensiveness. And that's the key we have to remember, too. I think we talked about that not too long ago, that many times we look at the commandments as one worse than another.
Right.
You know, stealing isn't as bad as murdering.
Right.
But they both come with the same penalty.
Yeah, they do.
They come with a death penalty.
Right.
And ultimately, that's what they do. This is why Paul is giving these warnings. If we have these things in our life, recognize it and own it and say, you know, I have this problem and I need to overcome it.
Yeah. Pray for strength from God. Pray for the Spirit of Christ to be in your heart to help you overcome these things. But also, you're going to have to make a choice.
Amen.
You're going to have to decide, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore.
And the other thing is, maybe you have done these things and you have a friend or a family member, someone that you know, that continues to do those. Well, it doesn't make you better because you overcame.
Right.
And this is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7. We don't want to judge them. you right. see what I'm saying? Unless we're willing to accept that same judgment.
Right. But what you can do is share with them the power of Christ mm-hmm. and helping you overcome whatever that issue is.
Amen. And again, that is only possible. I think we should, before we wrap this study up, we should go there and show them how this is possible, Ed. I think it's important to look at some of these texts that you mentioned it, but let's show them the Bible verses. And I know you'll find that, but I want to just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Right.
Because this is so important that we understand these things. This is Paul again. He's speaking to the Corinthian church who had really... they were not living according to God's standards, mm-hmm. obviously, or he wouldn't have said these things. And I'm going to begin in, I think it's verse 9. He says, this is 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And again, this isn't in any particular order. It doesn't say that one is better or worse than the other.
Right.
But he continues. And verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he doesn't say that you can continue to do those things because Jesus died right. for you. When we've been washed, what does that mean, Ed? It doesn't mean I can keep doing it.
No. You've been washed, you've been cleansed from these sins, from these this way of living life.
And I can overcome.
Yeah.
That's the key. And so many, I have Christian friends that they believe, well, you know I'm still living in sin, but I'm not perfect, and that's why Jesus died. No, he didn't die so that you could keep living
right.
in sin. He died so that you could overcome sin. That's why he lives now.
Right. Can I read a text
Please.
In 1 John?
Yes.
1 John chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 7 through 9.
Okay.
It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Talking about God is the light, walking with God. And that we can have cleansing because from sin, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, Amen. His Son. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And say, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm a good person. Well, you know, we all need to take the time to examine ourselves. Mm. And you may not look like what you see, but be encouraged. There is forgiveness. There's washing from sin. There's overcoming sin through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Verse 9 of 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm. So to cleanse us from all unrighteousness doesn't mean just to wipe it away. But if I'm cleansed from unrighteousness, I'm not going to commit those unrighteous acts any longer. And, you know, friends, you might be struggling with something that you feel like, well, I can't overcome it. Just recently, Ed and I were in a situation with a person who, when there was just a small group of us, that person confessed something that they were doing and said, I need prayer for this. I need prayer to overcome this. I know that these things that I've been involved in are not quite right. I know that they're against what God wants me to do. And we all stopped and we had a prayer for that person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because that person did that, it says here, confess your sins to one another. That way we can pray for one another. Mm-hmm. And I feel drawn closer to that person as a result of that, being open and honest with the brothers mm-hmm. that were there.
Right.
It's pretty amazing. And this is what the brotherhood of Christianity is all about. And we can confess those sins to God through the blood of Christ and know that because this person wants to overcome and he's asking for help, God's going to help him to overcome through Christ.
You know, there's a text in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens mm-hmm. me. It doesn't say I can do all things by myself.
Right.
Through my own power, through my own willpower, through my own determination. It says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right. And it doesn't say some things yeah. or most things. So all when it says all things, look at that long list of those things that we saw.
Right.
All of those can be overcome.
Right.
That's what this is telling us.
There's another text in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until mm-hmm. Christ comes back again.
Yeah, mine says we'll complete it until the day yes. of Jesus Christ.
You know, there's another text in Philippians 2.
Okay.
And what is it? 2:13.
Okay.
For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Mm.
You know, we receive God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. We receive the Spirit of his Father if we have the Spirit of Christ. You know, Romans 8, verse 11, I think it is, tells us that. And so these should be encouraging texts. There's another text in 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Okay.
It says 10:13. It says, no temptation has taken you but what is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape so that you may be able to bear it.
Mm.
Is it easy to overcome sin?
No.
Can we do it in my own power?
No.
But God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
And this is the difference that the gospel makes.
Yes.
This is the beauty of what Christ has done for us, not to save us while we continue to do those things, because if we continue to do them, we're lawless. We're breaking God's law.
Right.
But He doesn't just leave us. He doesn't just say, okay, well, you've got to overcome that. You can't do these things and get into the kingdom and then walk away. He doesn't do that. Remember, Christ made a promise in I think it's John chapter 14, where He said that He would come to us, that it would be Him.
Right.
The Spirit of Christ would come to us, would dwell in us. That, and in John 17, He talked about the Father would be in Him, and He in the Father, and we in Him, and He in us.
Yes.
So we're not left alone, friends. We're not. We might feel it sometimes, and sometimes we need a network of brothers and sisters that can help encourage us.
Right.
If there's something that is ailing you, you can send prayer requests to Ed or to me or to the office prophecy.
You can just say, I have a silent prayer request.
You don't have
unspoken
to reveal. Yeah.
Prayer request.
You don't have to reveal what it is. God knows what it is.
Yeah.
He knows what's on your heart. And we would never reveal those things on the air. But as a small group, we would pray about those things, whatever they are.
Right.
And maybe you have a local group that you can meet with and come together with other Christians and do the same thing. And this is the comfort that I get from God's Word. This is why I love reading God's Word, because in this world, now more than ever, Ed, we need to be reading these things.
You know, when you struggle with sin and you finally, through the power of Christ, overcome sin in your life, sometimes you think, okay, I've got this under control. Don't let your guard down.
Absolutely.
Satan will try to find a way, look for a chink in your armor. And the armor of God is...
That's in Ephesians.
Yeah. Can you take us there?
Yeah. Is that? I think that's Ephesians 6, I believe. Yeah. I love this text.
Don't let your guard down, because Satan will try to attack you there.
Yeah. So in Ephesians chapter 6... the whole armor of God. And, you know, I'm just going to read verses 10 through 20.
All right.
And then we'll open this up for discussion for a moment. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That was Paul talking.
Yeah, the mystery of the gospel is, according to Paul in Colossians chapter 1, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when this first thing that I see in verse 14 is, "Gird about with truth."
Hmm.
Who is the way and the truth and the life?
On John 14:6, Jesus, speaking of Himself, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he goes on, "No one comes to the Father except through me," Jesus says. So this armor, this first piece of the armor is Christ.
Yes. What about the gospel of peace? Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Well, I think Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
And I don't know if I'll remember all of the verses, but these are just the ones I'm remembering.
Right. Verse 16, Ephesians 6 says, take on the shield of faith.
Hmm. So who's our faith supposed to be in?
In Christ and his Father.
Yes.
Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation.
Wow. Salvation only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Well, we know that Jesus is the Word, and we know that the Lord is that Spirit.
Right. And we know that Jesus only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak.
Yes. And Christ in you is actually the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you.
Right. So really, the armor of God, the whole armor of God, is his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when we look at this, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the salvation, the Word of God, the helmet. You know, when I look at that helmet, I think of the helmet of salvation. If a head wound can put an end to your life pretty quickly, mm-hmm. because your brain is the command center. So think about it. Most of our senses are on our head. And a helmet, many times, Ed, you've rode a motorcycle for years. You probably have a full face helmet.
I do. Yeah.
So it protects your ears are covered, your lower mouth, your nose, your eyes. These are all input, mm-hmm. right? I hear, I see, what I smell, what I taste, what I touch. All of these things will affect what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And affect my life tremendously. So your brain also is in your head. So this helmet is a vital part. We have, and this is all, every one of these things points us back to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I'll tell you, when I came to realize that several years ago, it floored me because I'd never thought about it this way. I'd never considered that.
Yeah.
That Christ, he is our righteousness. He is our salvation. He is the truth.
This is just as much of importance part of the gospel as the death of Christ on the cross, where
yes.
our sins are covered by his death. There's no other way to have forgiveness of sin
Amen.
Except by the blood of Jesus Christ. But the gospel doesn't stop there. We still have to live life. We still want to maintain that reconciled relationship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the only way to do that is by living the life that God wants us to live. And that can only be done through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Ed, what is the verse, and I believe it's in Romans, that says that we are saved by his life?
Romans chapter 5.
Can you find that text
sure.
and read the verses, whatever verses you feel
is necessary? We read this a lot, but it's an important part of the gospel. Romans 5, starting with verse 6. For we yet, being without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't have the strength to be obedient to God. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the strength to overcome sin. Verse 7. For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one. Yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm.
Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
There it is.
You notice that Christ died for us not when we met a certain requirement.
Right.
But while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies to God, that's when Christ died for us.
It's a beautiful thing. And this being saved by his life, if you look at it in context, it's not talking about the life that he lived, although that was extremely important.
Right.
That's why he could die that death that he died.
Because he lived a life without sin.
Right. But it's by the life that he lives now that we
yes.
can be saved.
Not only his work as a high priest in heaven, but through the work of his, God has sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts to help us overcome sin in our lives. Look at Christ's life. He was tempted.
Absolutely.
Probably much more than you and I.
Oh, yeah.
Yet he was without sin. Hebrews 4 says he was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can put your faith in the Son of God that he knows how to overcome sin, and he can help you overcome sin in your life as well.
So this all goes back to, we have a righteous judge.
Yes.
We have a judge that has lived like we have. And he judges according to the Father's will, but the Father's put all judgment into his hands because Christ knows what it's like to live like me and you, right, to be a man, to be a human being, right? So what a beautiful thing. So when Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 is giving this information about judgment, he has the right, because he has lived life, he has the right to judge.
Can you think of a better mediator between God and man? He knows the ways of heaven. He knows the language of heaven. Yet he's experienced this life that we experience on this earth with all the difficulty and the temptations and the devil, you know, trying to get him to sin. Yet he overcame. Who better to present our case before his Father?
It's a beautiful arrangement. Yeah. It really is. And friends, think about that. Christ, the righteous one, is the judge. He knows what's in your heart. So if any of these things that we looked at today are in your heart, pray and ask God to help you to overcome those things. He will help you if you ask. He will help you if you ask.
You know, it will take faith. You have to believe.
Absolutely.
But Romans chapter 12 says, God has given everyone the measure of faith.
Amen.
God has given you that ability to believe and to have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ.
So, Ed, thank you so much. We're out of time already. This time just goes by so quick. And friends, read and study your Bibles. I hope that you found this very encouraging and that you will consider some of the texts that we went through. And we'll pick up again here in Matthew chapter 7 next week. But in the meantime, let's have a closing prayer. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for your word. Thank you so much for this information, for sending your Son, for giving us a way to endure in this terrible world the way that it is today. Father, we just ask that you will help us, each and every one of us, to overcome these things, to come to you, to trust in you, and to have faith in you and your Son. So, Father, please be with us until we come together again. We thank you for every gift you give us, and especially the gift of your Son, Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, I'm so glad we were here this evening. I look forward to next Sunday. Don't forget the prophecy series starts tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we hope to meet you here next Sunday, right here on New Visions Radio, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.